Our next guest is, she's really known throughout the world. Her name is Daphne Barak. She's an Israeli-American documentary filmmaker. She's an author, a journalist, celebrity interviewer. She's interviewed a very wide range of people. She has also written a book. The name of the book is To Plea or Not to Plea, The Story of Rick Gates and the Mueller Investigation. We'll get into that, I'm sure, and so much more with Daphne Barak. Daphne, welcome to the Power Hour.
Absolutely. I'm so happy to be with you, Daniel.
Yes, it's very... Oh, I love your accent. It's very good. You're very clear. I don't know what phone you're on, but that's very clear right now. I've never interviewed you before. I know, just a little bit from a distance, admired you from a distance a little bit. Tell our audience something about yourself, a sense of yourself. Who is Daphne Barak?
Oh, wow. Okay. I am considered the most syndicated interviewer around the world. I don't know if I'm the most, but I'm considered. I reach 500 million viewers and readers traditionally that in the dozen key markets that include, of course, America, UK, Australia. In Australia, I'm 60 Minutes. Turkey, the Arab world, Israel, Italy, Far East. I'm very known in Pakistan even. And India. So, what's really special in my model is that unlike CNN or media outlets which reach globally, reach people globally, I reach people since I was 20 through the number one TV or newspaper outlet. In their own language. I mean, how many Turkish really speak English? How many Italian really speak English? So basically, I reach that in Italian, Turkey, Arabic, Hebrew. So during the year, they call me. They think it's our Daphne talk to Trump, our Daphne talk to Prince Charles, our Daphne. So it's sort of a local pride, and I'm very happy about this ongoing present and interaction. I think I'm fortunate because I can send messages through my big interviews, whether it's like addiction with my first book. It was Saving Amy with Amy Winehouse. So it was all about addiction. My famous special with Michael Jackson and his parents, which I produced with partnership with Elizabeth Murdoch. The daughter of Rupert Murdoch, the owner of Fox. It was also about addiction. Same thing, Liza Minnelli, Eric Clapton. So, I mean, the same global message that you saw here on ABC or CBS or NBC went worldwide. And I think there's some issues like addictions, pains, loyalty, religious, so many other issues that have no borders, right? We are all children of God. So I really feel very fortunate. And this is To Plea or Not to Plea, the story of Rick Gates. And the Mueller investigation, it's my fifth book. And as usually, my books, first of all, are a television special. And then if I feel there's a much longer story to tell, I think it's a book. So basically, that's, and I would be so delighted to tell you more.
Very good. Very good introduction to you. The book, The Mueller Investigation, obviously, I don't say it captured our imagination. I think it was forced into our imagination for two plus three years. The genesis of it. Many people are caught in the crosshairs, not just Donald Trump. One of them was who you wrote this book about, Rick Gates, and about to plea or not plea. Why did you hook on to this story specifically? Obviously, there's more to tell. That's what you said. But why this? Why Rick Gates? Why now Mueller Investigation?
First of all, the Mueller investigation will have finished on March 2019, right? But it's still going on. Poor Mike Flynn is waiting for his sentencing later this month. Both Mike Flynn and Rick Gates were sentenced last month. I mean, they were indicted more than 2 years ago. I mean, it's been going on and on and on and on. It's like this Mueller report has life of his own, you know? But I think really what happened is that when Donald Trump, and he happens to be a friend of mine, and I supported him and my husband, Bill Ganassi, and I were actually delegates for Trump at the convention in Cleveland. But when Donald Trump surprised many and won, half of the country was so shocked. And I think in many elections before, usually a third or half of the country is not happy. But this one, this time there was so much personal hatred in some of my friends in Hollywood. I mean, I didn't believe what I was hearing. Like, instead of saying, well, let's work hard and elect somebody else in 4 years, or let's work hard and change half of the outcome in the midterm election, they came with all kinds of crazy narratives like, oh, let's impeach him, let's remove him, let's appoint a special counsel. You know, as if we don't live in a democracy. So the appointment of Robert Mueller and his team, what I call the Andrew Weissman team, and I'll tell you about that, you know, actually traumatized the whole country for a lot. And one thing people forget, and Donald Trump said it in a rally 3 weeks ago, you know, you can hate Donald Trump, and it's but in this huge war between two mega forces and so much hatred, the people who were caught in, you know, in between, we're talking about Paul Manafort, Rick Gates, Mike Flynn, Junior George Papadopoulos, even Jerome Corsi has been calling me. They were threatening to indict him, and somehow he was brave enough to fight back and avoided it. But, you know, people lost all their money. They lost their career. And not one thing that what Mueller and Weissman did, they make sure that they forced the people to cut a plea deal. Each one they forced, they made sure they charged them with one specific thing, quote-unquote, lying to the FBI. We're talking about Paul Manafort after the first trial, he cut a deal. Rick Gates, Mike Flynn, George Papadopoulos, right? Everybody lied to the FBI. That means they put a stigma on each one of these people, liar, liar, to the rest of their life, right? And I wrote the book, you know, two publishers were fighting on it here and in Australia, it's New Holland. And both publishers told me, well, if it wasn't you and your big credibility, we wouldn't do the book because isn't he a liar? But the paradox, Daniel, wow, is that the Mueller report is actually based on the testimonies of Mike Flynn and Rick Gates. You know, every several pages you have Mike Flynn said, Rick Gates said, and at one point they even say that they found Rick Gates very credible. So what a paradox. I mean, are you a liar or are you the person that we are, you know, basing our information and our foundings about, right? So very, very bizarre idea. So did I choose Rick Gates? Trump introduced me to Rick Gates when Bill and I agreed to be delegates. If you remember, Donald Trump actually had enough delegates to be the nominee of the Republican Party in 2016. But if you recall, Daniel, Ted Cruz wasn't very happy about it, and he said that he was going to steal delegates. So the Trump family realized that they needed close friends like Bill and myself and many others that, you know, they could buy me for lunch. Rick Gates, at that point, Paul Manafort and Rick Gates took over the conventions, and they were promoted to be campaign manager and deputy manager.
Let me interject here, because you're talking. That's almost more fascinating than the Mueller investigation. That whole thing with the convention and the delegates, and it was up in there. Sound like you were in the middle of that. What was that like?
Well, we actually were very early on supporters of Donald Trump. But I remember when he announced in June 15 or whatever, my husband and I were in Vegas filming with our friend Kid Rock for my series Icon in the Own Words. And I remember when he was going down, Kid Rock and his manager then, was like my brother Lee Trink, said, oh, he's announcing again. You remember Donald Trump used to say every few words that he was running. And I said, no, guys, look. Ivanka is actually introducing him. This time it's for real. And I also told him that Eric Trump told me several years back that, you know, Obama is the worst president, and when my father would become president, and it was in their mind. They were thinking about it. It wasn't just suddenly out of the blue sky, right? And my husband and I actually brought Sheldon and Mira Adelson to support him because, I mean, at the beginning it was difficult because, you know, people, you know, he wasn't a politician, and people were already committed to others. I remember Larry Ellison, the owner of Oracle, invited Bill and I and several friends to meet Marco Rubio at his home. He was supporting Marco Rubio. And then he took me aside and he said, look, talk to Mary Adelson. She was supporting Ted Cruz, and Sheldon, her husband, was thinking between Marco and Ted Cruz. And he said, look, you know, if Mary pushes for Ted Cruz, it will cost me another $10 million because she will put $10 million, I'll put $10 million. So why won't you just tell them to support Marco? And I liked Marco a lot. But I said to him, you know, Larry, your big surprise is that I love Marco, but I think for our time right now, we need somebody who is not as smooth, poker, or charming. We need a doer, whether you like his rhetoric or not. And we are supporting Donald Trump. And Larry was caught off by surprise. He was like, what are you talking about? He was trying to convince me. And then we went to Vegas and basically talked to Mary about how Donald is devoted to Israel. It's not me, and Ivanka and Jared, of course. For Mary and Sheldon, Israel is very important. As for me, as I'm American, but I was born in Israel. So that's how we became involved. We actually, I'm also the one that brought Donald Trump to California. Ted Cruz and Kasich were already confirmed to the convention in California, and they couldn't get in touch with Donald Trump. And then the chairman of the party, Jim Brulke, came to me and asked for my help. And again, I called Eric Trump, and Donald came. And I don't have to tell you that the lunch with Donald was sold within 5 minutes. And that's, if you remember, the famous photos and videos of people demonstrating all over San Francisco against him. And he had to go over the fence and under the fence to get to the convention and get make the speech. But, yeah, so I was definitely very instrumental about Trump from the Trump campaign from early on.
You obviously have a big Rolodex of very influential and well-known friends. What do your friends in Hollywood, what have you, what do they think about your support for Trump?
You're so on the money on, you know. My husband, which, by the way, he's coming with a book, which I would love you to have. He's getting a huge review, and Donald Trump took a advance copy of his book because it's coming later this month, two weeks ago, and we were together. It's about Erdogan, Turkey, Iran, Syria, and it's called the Trump Game Changer. I'll text message you afterwards. But basically, my husband had a birthday this week, so I was hosting a birthday with our close friend, John Voight, Oscar winner John Voight, and Roseanne Barr, right?
Yes,
and
I know John Voight.
And Roseanne Barr, of course, you know, right? And we were just talking about how so few of us in Hollywood dare to say that they support Donald Trump, right? And they both feel they're paying a big price about it because Roseanne famously was fired from ABC, and trust me, she's not a racist. I know her very well. She's very close to us. And John, you know, I mean, the way he's been attacked by social media sometimes, I just don't believe it, as if we don't live in a country that we have a First Amendment and freedom of speech. So, and just this morning, if you look at the papers, I was just texting back and forth to Roseanne. You had a crazy social media going again. Vince Vaughn. Because he dared to go and say hi to our president. It's not my president or your president. It's our president, right?
It's crazy.
And he went to say hi to our president. And did you see what they? And do you remember Deborah Messing? You know,
yes,
that she wanted the names of everybody in Hollywood who dared to go to a Donald Trump fundraiser.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what are we? Are we blacklisting people? This is like a McCarthy, right?
Absolutely. So for the audience who's maybe not know, Vince Vaughn, who's the actor, very famous. He's well known to be conservative. I mean, he's supported Ron Paul. He's a Republican slants, even more conservative. Anyway, he was at the national championship game yesterday in a box, in a suite. The president was there, and Vince Vaughn was sitting next to him and Melania, and he was talking to Donald Trump. Just a picture was taken, and then social media, the internet went nuts over it, and people in Hollywood were lambasting him for how dare he talk to Donald Trump. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I hope he never makes another movie again. It's just, it's insane.
I'm telling you. I mean, and it's very interesting. Why do you think this hatred? I mean, last year, I mean, every year there's a party in Mar-a-Lago, like what we call the victory party, that my good friend, she's like a godmother to Bill and I, Tony Holt Kramer, is hosting, and it will be with the president later this month. I'm bringing Roseanne Barr with us as a headliner. Last year, I brought John Voight, and we got awards, both John Voight and I, and I said, why am I getting an award? Because you are two of the only people in Hollywood who dare to say that you're friends of Donald Trump. I thought it was a bad joke. I mean, I would like to have an award for my achievements, but apparently, so this year they're getting in the same kind of award to Roseanne and I. And I said to the president a couple of weeks ago, thank you, I'm getting every year an award, you know, just for being your friend but a supporter. But it's really, really, but I want to tell you something which I'm also revealing in my book, and I want to share it with you and your listeners because it's infuriating. My book, To Appeal Not to Please, the story of Rick Gates and the Mueller investigation. Do you know, Daniel, how early did Mueller and Weissman conclude that they could not, N-O-T, not charge anybody with Russian collusion or Russian interference? Do you know how early they knew it?
No, tell us.
So Rick Gates is telling me that he was being asked, you know, there were several teams. There was like the Don Jr. team. There was a Jared Kushner. Don Jr. told me several times over lunch, well, you know, there were people really spreading around that I'm going to be going to jail. I mean, it was really crazy atmosphere, as you remember. So each team asked the same questions, right? So Rick Gates was being asked in many ways, was there a Russian collusion? And by the way, people don't know the truth. Rick Gates never flipped against Donald Trump. Part of the deal that he had to flip against his former partner, Manafort, which was very cruel, was very difficult. But he never flipped against Donald Trump at all points. From the day he was indicted, he was surprised. He said, no, there was no Russian collusion, right? So each time he was asked by the Mueller team, he said, no, there was no Russian collusion, no. And he could have lost his plea deal because they wanted him naturally to say something else. But at one point, they stopped asking, right? And that means that they concluded. And they started to ask about other things, inauguration, foreign money. You mentioned Joe Netter, you know, many other things. But they never got back to the Russian collusion question. So that means they concluded what they needed to know. That was around June 2018. Now,
wow.
Did they tell you and I? No. What happened 4 months later? November midterm election. So you and I and every listener, and I'm a Republican, but even I didn't know, right? So you and I and everybody went to vote under the assumption, because of all the leaks, that, oh, my God, who knows what Robert Mueller is going to find out about Russian collusion. And I told the president, and I say again, and the report was only published by March 2019, 9 months after that June that they actually concluded they could not charge anybody in Russian collusion, and that's what the report says 9 months later. So I'm saying that they decided not to tell us. Why didn't they tell us? I told the president. He was naturally furious, and he asked me and my husband several times, are you talking June? June, I said, yeah. And the other person I talked to, the only one, is Kevin McCarthy. And Kevin's screaming, well, Daphne, well, of course, that's why we lost the election in November 2018, because they didn't tell us, right? Because he said, I could have been the Speaker of the House, not Nancy Pelosi. We wouldn't have an impeachment. Now, you and I don't know for sure that we would win the election otherwise, but it's highly likely that we would. Definitely highly likely it affected the outcome. And the paradox I want to bring to you is, Robert Mueller was appointed to find out if there was any interference in the 2016 election. Fair game. I would like to know. I wanted to know as well. I didn't think so, but of course. But what did he do? By not telling you and I and the listeners that he already concluded that there was no Russian collusion before the November midterm election, he actually interfered in the 2018 elections. Don't you agree?
Well, they're pretty. It's called transference, Daphne. When you accuse somebody else of doing what you do, that's called transference, isn't it? Or a mental illness.
Absolutely. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yes.
Now, why do we call it the Mueller report? I don't know, because it was the Andrew Weissman. What I understood from Rick Gates, and of course, you know, Rick knew what they were talking to Mike Flynn and everything because they corroborated, right? So what I understood, it was really Andrew Weissman who was actually driving the narrative. And the funny thing, if you remember, Andrew Weissman cut a plea deal with Paul Manafort after his first trial, insisting to include that Paul Manafort could never write a book, which I find very bizarre. I mean, we live in a country that there's freedom of speech. Why wouldn't he write a book? I mean, I didn't understand that. What I did understand is that a few weeks later, Andrew Weissman suddenly quits the Mueller team, right, before the end. And what do you and I found next? Andrew Weissman cut a lucrative deal with Penguin Publishing.
About
a book deal. So what did he do? Did he try to eliminate a competition?
The competition.
I think you and I would read Paul Manafort's book much faster than Andrew Weissman's, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, Rick Gates' team reached out to Andrew Weissman. They felt betrayed, right? I mean, why would you write a book? I mean, everything that happened in this closed-door investigation was supposed to be private or ending up at the Mueller report, but not in private commercial deals, right? And Weissman told the Rick Gates team that, oh, no, the book has nothing to do with the investigation. It's about his own bio. The guy doesn't have a name recognition. What bio?
Yeah, sure. We're coming up on a break. The music's about to start. It's been a pleasure to talk to you so far. On the other side, we'll get into some more details, the depth of this. I mean, it really shapes up as a witch hunt, but I got a couple pointed questions on the other side. We got about a minute. There's the music.
Absolutely.
We're talking to Daphne Brock. The book is To Plea or Not to Plea. I mean, it's very Shakespearean, isn't it? The story of Rick Gates and the Mueller investigation. I mean, it's very Macbeth, the whole thing, isn't it? You're listening to the Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. So good to be with you. Stay tuned. More on the Power Hour.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Oil of Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made. Good for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget about the Power Mall, thepowermall.com. That's all the great products that we have and the interviews and the knowledge. You know about it. That's how we're supported. That's how we get the fuel to put in this car to drive down the internet superhighway and interview great people like Daphne. We get checks from you, not from George Soros. We are supported by you, and that's the way we like it. So at the Power Mall, many specials we got going on, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, and the REM Sleep is all back in stock over there, too. So check out the REM Sleep at thepowermall.com. Getting back to Daphne Brock, she's known all across the world. Obviously, you can... She's a world-class name dropper. I mean, she just, these people roll off her tongue. She's very fun. I talked to her during the break. Can I maybe prod her into taking me along on a Trump visit or a Trump party? That'd be cool. Maybe we'll angle that. But anyway, we're here to talk to Daphne. The name of the book is To Plea or Not to Plea. It's a story of Rick Gates. And really, it's a story of America and the Justice Department now and the injustice and what is going on. And really, by proxy, the overarching threat that the Trump presidency has to face every day. It's insane. This is lawless. It doesn't make sense. There's no rules to it. It's like a gangster type situation. And we'll get into this more with Daphne. The book is available everywhere. Daphne, back to you. I got a specific question. I've interviewed George Papadopoulos. I've interviewed Jerome several times. One of the things I asked Jerome, I said, Jerome, in America, you have the right to remain silent. Obviously, these people are just looking for anything to so you can incriminate yourself. Why did you talk to them at all? As you look at this, wouldn't it have been better, Daphne, if none of these people said, that's it, I'm not going to talk to any of you. I'm going to exercise Fifth Amendment protections?
Well, I think we both know what happened to Mike Flynn. They sort of lured him, and he wasn't aware that he was facing a legal situation, right? What happened with Rick Gates was as disturbing. I mean, when he was indicted, he didn't know he was indicted. Actually, funny enough, my husband and I were flying with the then-Congressman Daryl Issa, a red eye from California to D.C., and we were just betting the whole night who are the two people who are going to be the first two indictments, right? You remember the whole country was debating for a whole weekend, right, because it was leaked. And, you know, everybody thought it would be Mike Flynn and Paul Manafort. Nobody thought Rick Gates. And Rick Gates was actually having a coffee with us at the Trump Hotel in D.C. with Bill and I and Eric Brandstad, the son of our ambassador in China, right? So when we landed that morning and they went to the shower and my husband was calling, screaming, "It's Rick Gates!" You know, it's like froze. And I was so shocked, I ran out and I saw it scrolling all over and Rick Gates' face. And I said something so stupid, I guess. Well, I guess we don't have a 5 p.m., right? So it was like quite crazy. Rick basically was surprised. And he was so surprised, he came even without an attorney. He wasn't prepared. So he just said not guilty. And when I asked him, why did you say not guilty? You didn't even see the charges until the next day. He said, because I knew that Mueller was appointed to investigate whether there was a Russian collusion. I knew there was no Russian collusion, so I said not guilty. He said when they appointed him a public defender the following day and he saw the charges, he was shocked. He said it's nothing to do with Donald Trump. It's all going back to Ukraine before 2014, you know. Now, as I said, when I started to write this book, To Plea or Not to Plea, the story of Rick Gates and the Mueller investigation, I thought that we're dealing with a dilemma, a Shakespearean dilemma, that you have to make a very, very tough decision, but between two choices. But no, I found out you don't have a choice. When the government is going with so much force against you, I mean, you have nothing to do. And the moment Rick Gates broke down was after 118 days, they doubled the charges against him and Manafort. And he didn't have the millions of Manafort. He just ran out of money. His wife is battling cancer. He has four kids. Three are very young. They're so young they don't even know that something is wrong with daddy. They managed to shelter them. So he broke down. And they offered him, and many people don't know that, that actually would be only one not reporting that he was a foreign agent. And now we come to why, to your very smart question. So they asked him at the beginning if 2013, don't forget, we're talking 2013, at a meeting with some congressmen from California, he and Paul Manafort mentioned something about Ukraine. And he said he didn't think so. No, he doesn't think so. When he cut the plea deal, part of the plea deal is sort of like a mental detox. You have to come clean about everything in your life, even your adultery, cheating on your wife, everything. Otherwise, they will walk back. Yeah, it's crazy.
Whoa, say that again?
Exactly. Yeah, so then he went, so suddenly he recalled that actually, yes, he and Manafort did mention Ukraine briefly in this meeting with a congressman from California. So he went with his attorney and came clean and said, well, yeah, actually, since I have to come clean, I now tell you that I did, I do recall that I mentioned something about Ukraine in this meeting. Boom, they say, now we are going to charge you in a second thing, a part of the plea deal, lying to the FBI. Could you imagine?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I can imagine. What is this? That now, you, when you're doing this story and you're following this and you're getting the facts of this, I mean, are you outraged? What goes through your mind when you hear this?
Well, I've done dangerous things in my life. I'm known for my interviews with Michael Jackson and Amy Winehouse and Liza Minnelli and all that and royals, but I've done interviews, as you know, very big interviews with dictators like Muammar Gaddafi, Yasser Arafat, the only sit-down interview with Mugabe of Zimbabwe. So I have my share of brave moments, and then I become, a Beverly Hills girl again, right? Manicure, pedicure. But it was actually, I had to be very careful because we were doing it while the investigation was going on. We couldn't talk about it to protect Rick Gates and to protect the process. So I had to move out of the Trump D.C. Naturally, Rick Gates could have not walked into the Trump D.C. While he's a key witness of the investigation. So we moved between different hotels in D.C. And I told Donald Trump first time that I was doing it after I had already 4 days of filming. It was Thanksgiving last year. We were in Mar-a-Lago, and the president and Melania, the first lady, were talking to Bill and I quietly at the table over dinner. And I said to him, "Mr. President, I have something to tell you. I'm coming with a very big scoop." So he's like, "Oh, Melania, she always has the big scoop. Michael Jackson and this and Amy Winehouse and the documentary based on her book, won an Oscar, whatever." And I said, "Mr. President, this time it's about you." But silence. You can just imagine, Daniel, right? I mean, and this is after he had to endure all kind of books like Omarosa and The Fire and Fury and people taping him behind. He's like, I can just imagine what happened, what went through him, through his mind. Oh, another friend of mine is betraying me. So I said, somebody is talking, breaking his silence. And it's somebody that you believe from the press is talking against you. No, he's not talking against you, actually. It's actually a good thing for you. So he's looking. He said, who? I said, Rick Gates. And don't forget, we're talking November 2018, right? And this is in the middle of the Mueller investigation. He was like, wow, how did he get to you, right? And I said, well, your son Eric introduced us. So he's like, okay. And then I didn't say too much what Rick is saying, because first of all, it was discreet, and secondly, I didn't want to play a go-between. I know the rules. I just said it's going to be a very pleasant surprise for you. He did not sleep against you at all times. So he was really listening. We were talking. And then he said, okay, Daphne, you know, book, I understand, but the FBI, Mueller, they will not let you film. I said to him, you know, very quietly, I said, well, Mr. President, I wouldn't be here enjoying Palm Beach vacationing unless I just finished 4 days filming, right? So he's thinking, you know, the president is very smart. He always wants to double check, triple check. I didn't listen. I was talking to the first lady about something when I overhear him saying to my husband, okay, Bill, I get it about the book. When are you filming, right? And I overhear Bill says, oh, we finished 4 days. So then he came. Now he knew it was okay, right? So basically, I have to tell you, people say that the president doesn't control his tweeting. It's like addiction. He's very smart, and there is a lot of thought behind it. And we were talking at least 4 or 5 times ever since while I was filming and writing the book. And never at all point. I remember that time that we talked, I said, you cannot talk about it because you're going to hurt him more than he's already hurt. And you're going to hurt the process of the book, right? And we did high five. Everybody in Mar-a-Lago was looking. We did high five and laughed and everything that he's not going to talk. And the first lady told him you cannot tweet, and he did not. And like 7 weeks ago in Bedminster, it's very funny, right? In Bedminster, he's the golf club in New Jersey. My husband and I were having dinner with a couple of friends. You may know them, Mike Lindell, the owner of Pillow.com. And the president saw me, and he asked me to come. And we were spending a good 35, 40 minutes. And he actually, we talked about that, and he didn't want people to read our lips. He said, come sit next to me and whisper. The whole Bedminster was looking what's going on. And then, you know, he tells me and Bill, you see, you know, you told me not to talk about it. You see, I didn't tweet. I never talked about it. I didn't tweet. And I said, Mr. President, preparing a medal for you. Very cute, you know?
He gets an award. It's like your award, like for being the only being the only person in Hollywood to support Trump. He gets a medal for not tweeting. He kept his. I'm gonna transition.
It shows you that it's not addiction. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Jerome told me. Jerome knows him a little bit. Jerome says he's very calculated.
No, Jerome doesn't
smart.
Know
Don't.
Him. Jerome actually, no, Jerome doesn't know him. Jerome asked me to talk to him about
really?
Him. He doesn't know him. No, not at all.
Jerome told me that he knows something. He has a sense of him and says he's very smart. Would you agree with that?
Oh, he knows Donald Trump. Like that. He doesn't know him. He's never spent time with him. But if he knows him from the press, yeah.
That's interesting. Well, there you go.
No, definitely. He asked me to talk to the president about some wall or something because he doesn't have any access to him. Which I didn't because I don't transfer messages. But basically, he's very smart. And you know what people don't understand? That's very important, Daniel. I'll introduce you and he will ask you questions out of the blue sky, right? And you'll say, wow, why is he asking me, right? Because that's his thinking process. He thinks loudly, right? So I introduced him to a media owner a couple of weekends ago. And, of course, the media owner was so honored. And he asked him a question. And the media owner is looking at me and Lindsey Graham and my husband so taken by it. And Lindsey and I were laughing because that's the way he thinks.
Wow. We're talking to Daphne Brock, author of To Plea or Not to Plea, Rick Gates and the Mueller Investigation. Let me put this question this way, because as a fan of Donald Trump, as a supporter of Donald Trump, before the election, one of the most absolutely provocative debates moments I have ever seen in my whole life was when Hillary Clinton says, it's a good thing you're not running the country, and Donald Trump replies, yeah, because you'd be in jail. And that was one of the most provocative things I've seen. Since that point, we have seen nobody from that side. I mean, although the evidence is unbelievable coming in about the Clinton Foundation, to this, the that, the other. The only people who seem to go to jail are those who supported Donald Trump. I mean, do you have a comment about this, or does this seem ironic to you?
I tell you, I didn't like that rhetoric because I am very close to the Prime Minister of Pakistan, Imran Khan, Benazir Bhutto, the late Benazir Bhutto, which was assassinated. I was a very close friend of my husband and I. She actually lived next to us in Pakistan, and her widower, Asifai Zardari, and I did the first interview with the President Musharraf of Pakistan and his wife. I mean, these kind of countries like Pakistan and, you know, the other countries, they're not really democracy. So there, either you win the election or you're being executed or going to jail, right? So, I mean, I didn't like this rhetoric. The one thing I do agree with you and with the president, that it's just impossible. I mean, what Hillary Clinton, and I used to be a Democrat. I hosted Hillary at home, for the 2008 election, not for this one. And I just didn't believe what we were hearing. I mean, the fact that they use hammers to break the mobiles, I mean, isn't that obstruction of justice? I mean, this is crazy, right?
And the missing emails. Used to be.
Yeah, and if you and I did that, we would be in jail, right? The missing 30,000 email, if you and I have a subpoena and we have to submit everything we have, is it up to you and I to decide that suddenly we are not submitting 30,000 emails? Because we destroyed them on top of it.
Not only not submitting them, destroying them. I mean, let's be clear.
Yeah.
She destroyed them.
Exactly. So I definitely agree with what's happening right now with Horvitz and everything which is happening because nobody is above the law. It's not only Trump not above the law. Also, the investigators are not above the law. And for us not to investigate the FBI, that even Comey, I don't have to tell you more, even Comey admitted recently in a public statement that the FBI did very big mistakes regarding the FISA, right? So for us not to question the investigators when the things are so one-sided, and there are people, as Donald Trump said a few weeks ago, the Mueller team and the investigators, they just ruined people's lives forever. You tell me, how can anybody like Rick Gates or Mike Flynn, forget about Manafort, but only made sure that he's never going to go out of jail, they're right now charging him in New York State that he could never get a pardon in, right? But how can they ever get their lives back? They lost all their money, they lost their credibility. They're convicted felons, do you know? I don't know how many of your listeners know. I'm sure you know that, Daniel. But you know that a convicted felon cannot go to London?
Yes, I did know that, actually. Yes, I did.
Right?
Do you think Trump is going to pardon him? Do you think Trump will pardon Flynn or Gates or Manafort?
Okay, Manafort, it won't help him, right? Because of the New York state, they made sure, and I did not talk to him about it, and of course. While I was filming and writing with Rick, I would never talk to him because I didn't want to get involved in such a thing. It's very, on a humane basis, I know he's still very bad to what happened to all of them. He talked about it publicly. He mentioned it to me. He, by the way, one of the time I saw him just before my book was out in October, we saw him in Washington, D.C., and he asked me, how is Rick's wife? You know, he feels bad, you know. The wife is battling cancer, and these 2 years did not help her cancer, right? We both know that. So,
yes.
I mean, he feels very bad. So if he would pardon them on a humane basis, I would hope so. On the other hand, don't forget, I mean, everything he does, he's surrounded with so much hatred that they would look like a one phone call with the president of Ukraine, right, which was transparent, listened by, I don't know, many people, right? It wasn't like that they were whispering in a corner, right? If that's a reason for an impeachment, could you imagine pardoning, how many reasons they will try to find out for quid pro quo and whatever? I mean, it's a big, big risk for him as well. Let's not forget that, right?
You are an Israeli-American. Obviously, you're very connected. What does Israel, general sense, what does Israel think, the country, think of Donald Trump?
I think when he came, it's very funny, when Bill and I actually flew to Israel because I also am filming huge specials for Channel 2 there. So we flew to Israel on November 7th. So that was the day before the election. So when we landed, suddenly, boom, we actually flew from the Trump Hotel in New York. We saw them. And then when we landed on the ACE, boom, the big surprise for many that he won, right? And I remember several Israelis, one of the richest Israelis there, caught me at the lobby of the Dan Tel Aviv Hotel, and he said to me, your friend, it's worse than anything. He talked to him almost like we inherited Hitler. It was very, very crazy. I think what happened afterwards when Trump really moved the embassy to Jerusalem and really showed his support to Israel, and then, you know, the Golan Heights and everything. You know, acts talk more than words. So right now he's very, very popular in Israel. And what he did recently, he also made sure at the beginning it looked like a personal friendship with Bibi Netanyahu because Bibi knew Jared Kushner's family and everything. Trump recently changed the narrative that he is not a personal friend of Bibi. He's a friend of Israel. Whoever Israel would elect on March 2nd, Trump will accept that. And I think it was a very smart move of him. He's maturing. He's becoming a big leader, you know. And the last thing I have to tell you about that, I was in Mar-a-Lago, and 2 weeks ago when the whole thing, when he decided to, when our embassy in Iraq was attacked and he decided to kill the Iranian number two, right?
Soleimani,
if you were there with me, if you were there, Daniel, with me and my husband and our friend, and we saw him 3-4 days in a row, right? You wouldn't imagine that the guy is planning all that. He was playing golf. He was relaxing with his friends. You know, I told you, he talked to me. I mean, I asked him to wish somebody a happy birthday. He called her, took photos with her. Talked to my husband. Good several minutes about his book. Took an advanced copy. He was so gracious, a great host. You couldn't believe. I mean, Lindsey Graham was with us. We were all laughing. I'm assuming that he talked to Lindsey afterwards and told him something was going on because we learned afterwards that Lindsey was notified. But you couldn't even guess that something so seriously was going on. He was relaxed, amazingly in good mood. I fly back and I find out what was happening while I was there. Like, God, how did I miss that one,
wow.
Right?
We got 2 or 3 minutes for that. It's been an absolute pleasure meeting you. The name of the book is To Plea or Not to Plea, the story of Rick Gates and the Mueller investigation. It's available everywhere, Amazon, wherever books are sold. This is a very worthwhile for your time, ladies and gentlemen. You need to check this book out to just there's so many different facets of it that would interest me. You know, the Department of Justice, the machinations behind, the perspective of Gates and his perspective as a human, as an American.
And the cruelty, yeah,
the
Daniel,
cruelty,
you know,
that put through him.
I mean, the fact, for example, that people don't know that after Rick Gates cut the deal, you know, to flip against Paul Manafort, he was hoping for relief. And they were so cruel that they imposed on him to continue carrying the electrical bracelet until he delivered a very nasty testimony against Paul Manafort. And the guy had, as I said, 4 kids, 3 don't even know that something is wrong with daddy. So in a very sweaty summer, he had to go with his long pants and sweat that the children wouldn't see. They didn't allow him to go to a couple of campings with his children at the beginning. Then he asked to go to see an expert in California to talk about his wife's condition before they took a decision. They did not allow him to do the same. So, I mean, the cruelty is beyond words, and people should know that. But just one last thing. I want you to know that the book is not depressing. I mean, it's lots of gossip. It's also Rick is reminiscing about the good old days because he was so up there. You know, he was the deputy chairman of the inauguration. He's talking for the first time about the relationship between Donald and Melania.
Turn that down just a little bit.
How wonderful it is. And I think people would love to read that.
Oh, absolutely. I had no question about it. To Plea or Not to Plea is the name of the book. Check it out wherever books are sold. Daphne, an absolute pleasure to meet you. Stay tuned, or stay right there. I'll talk to you as we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. We'll be here tomorrow. ThePowerHour.com. Daphne Brock. DaphneBrock.com. God bless you.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.